Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, Hub, I think you hit a great point there.
Hub Arkish.
The Arkish family in pro football media journalism has been around almost as long as the game itself.
670 The Score's NFL Insider.
Hub, would you consider being the GM for the Chicago Bears?
George McCaskey, if you're listening, I'm waiting for the call.
Shaw Media and Pro Football Weekly.
I pulled out the old Steelers wheel song for one of my columns last week, you know, Stuck in the Middle with You. And it is the worst place to be in almost any professional sport, but absolutely worse in the NFL than anywhere else.
Joe Egan and Jerry Rafferty were a duo known as Steelers Wheel when they recorded this Dylan-esque pop bubblegum favorite from April of 1974. That reached up to number 5 as K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s continues.
I'm not an idiot. This is our starter.
Hey, what's going on? You hear that?
Hub Arkish, that's getting better than this.
Hub Arkish with Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
Tuesdays at 4, we talk NFL with Hub Arkish. Matt Spiegel is in. It's the Danny Parkins Show on The Score. He joins us by way of the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Good afternoon, Hub. How are you doing today?
I am good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're doing very, very well. And I'm loving our Twitter relationship, Hub. We're growing it. And you tweeted something yesterday, and I was like, oh, should I respond to Hub? Or should I say, if you had tweeted this on Thursday, I would have interacted. I was like, no, he's coming on tomorrow. I'm going to just save it. And your tweet, how ironic is it that Bears fans salivate over Deshaun Watson, but Texans clearly much worse than Bears this year, and Texans ownership, front office, and salary cap are in substantially worse shape than the Bears. Watson a better QB? Obviously. Better for Bears with what he'd cost? Thinking face emoji. Hub, do you think that the Bears would be worse with Deshaun Watson?
Well, I think the show will be worse with my alarm going off. Let me get rid of that first.
Thank you.
Would they be worse with Deshaun Watson?
Well, for what it would cost to get him.
Yeah, I think that, it depends on whether they would have to give up just draft choices or draft choices and players. If it was just draft choices, I suppose there's a chance that in 2021 they would be better. But by 2022, I think they'd be going in the wrong direction.
See, I just feel like I asked Boomer
Welcome
Esiason.
To Danny Parkins' Bone to Pick with Hub Arkish, a weekly segment.
Well, I just feel like a quarterback elevates every – like, I think the Bears' offensive line is better with Deshaun Watson immediately. Right,
you know, Danny,
I think that Bears receivers are better with Deshaun Watson immediately.
Yeah, but there's one argument you can't make, which is that at 4-12 and getting pounded 41-17 by the Bears with Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans aren't nearly as good as the Chicago Bears. And so, you know, just the quarterback wasn't the difference. It isn't the difference. It's an essential requirement to be a contender. There's no question about that. But you still have to put the pieces around him. And if you limit your ability to get any top flight talent to go with them for the next 2 or 3 years because of the draft and the salary cap, I don't know how you're a better football team.
But okay, I obviously 4-12 this year did not work for the Texans, but I just feel like we see it that the teams that are consistently competitors year in and year out have great quarterbacks. And so I asked Boomer Esiason yesterday, who's the most valuable commodity that had ever been traded in the NFL, the best player to ever be traded in the NFL, right? And the guy I came up with is Fran Tarkenton. He went 3 Super Bowls and an MVP after he was traded. Khalil Mack would be in the conversation, Marshall Faulk, Randy Moss. If Deshaun Watson did get traded, and I don't think he will, but if he got traded, 25-year-old franchise quarterback who is already under contract, so there's cost certainty attached to it, I honestly think he might be the most valuable commodity that had been traded in the history of the National Football League Cup.
Well, that's a possibility. He'd have to match John Elway's career or, you know, Eli's career. I mean, they're quarterbacks, you know, so I think that helps make your point. But Danny, I you know, you're right. The teams that are consistently playoff and Super Bowl contenders have great quarterbacks. But teams that have great quarterbacks, like the Atlanta Falcons with Matt Ryan and the Detroit Lions with Matt Stafford and all those years in San Diego with Phillip Rivers, are not necessarily great football teams. You know, that's where the argument breaks down. It is a key component to being a consistent contender, and the Bears aren't going to be one until they get a franchise quarterback. But that's different from just getting a franchise quarterback makes you a better team. You still have to build the team around them. And you know, listen, A, we agree on one thing. He isn't getting dealt.
Correct.
But let's say we're wrong. If he does, he's clearly getting dealt to one of the three teams directly behind the Texans because they have the assets to offer that the Bears don't have. And so the question now becomes, if he becomes a Jet or a Jaguar or a Falcon, you know, are they instant contenders or are they instantly better? And the answer is not necessarily. And then, you know, or the Dolphins, you know, the Dolphins are interesting because, you know, they obviously have built a pretty good football team with young talent. So to me, that's the one team that probably could take a hard look at the deal. And in spite of what it would cost them, plus they've got all kinds of extra assets to deal, including the Texans' own number one, mm-hmm. you know, so to me, the team it makes sense for, if you don't believe in Tua, and why you're giving up on Tua Tagovailoa after 8 games is a mystery to me, because he wasn't that bad. But, you know, if you believe that Tua's ceiling is not where Deshaun Watson's is, then if I'm the Dolphins, I'd take a hard look at that trade. But for the rest of these guys, it just the price is so exorbitant. You know, look at what happened to Washington when they gave up 3 first-round picks for Robert Griffin. And you know, forget the fact that RG3 turned out not to be, you know, the guy that they hoped he would, because that's what happens with most of these guys. So it's just it's a complicated, you know, equation, and you can't just pick the one piece, because nobody's arguing that Deshaun Watson is not a 25-year-old about to be a franchise quarterback.
See that, but that's the thing, because we're talking about a much more known commodity than, you know, Elway was as a draft pick, or
exactly.
Eli was as a draft pick, or RG3. I had a friend who's a big Pats fan who wants Pat Mahomes. He's like, you know what? I want to trade for Pat Mahomes. I'm like, what are you talking about? And here was his offer for Pat Mahomes. He said that he would give up the Patriots' first-round pick for every year that Pat Mahomes plays 60% of the snaps at quarterback.
This guy follows me on Twitter, because that's what I said about Deshaun Watson that Hub shot down.
Is there a known entity? It's like the Gretzky trade, you know? Like, is there a possibility of a known entity where it makes sense to do that? Is there a player that is good enough to sensibly do that, even in the interconnected, complementary nature of football?
I don't think, more so in football than any other sport, and you know what's coming, Matt. I mean, how many cups did the Kings win with Gretzky?
To
me, there is no more team sport. There is no sport that in order to achieve the ultimate success requires more pieces and more interconnectivity than NFL teams do. And I mean, you know, how many great quarterbacks have we seen, you know, who never got rings? I mean, look at Dan Marino. What would you have given for him? And should he have won elsewhere? You know, and we can find a bunch of other guys like that. Dan Fouts, you know, Warren Moon. I mean, the, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks who never won championships, because being a franchise quarterback in and of himself does not make a team a contender.
Hey, Hub, do you think that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are feeling protected and emboldened enough to search for quarterbacks in some of the same ways that Ryan Pace searched for one, and looking for the same kind of traits that Matt Nagy would want? You know what I mean? Are they gonna do this again and just try to find the right guy for Matt Nagy's offense the same way?
You know, Spiggs, my understanding is that they are the football people. You know, that's what George McCaskey has told us. They have complete control of the football operation. They're in those jobs this year. And so this year they have the freedom to do what they have to do to find that guy, or any guy, you know, that makes the team better. So if they were able to work out a trade with the Houston Texans for Deshaun Watson, regardless of the cost, yeah, I believe that George McCaskey would allow them to do it.
It's a fascinating thing in terms of the empowerment there, and how big of a swing they're going to be able to take this offseason, Hub. And they said, you know, that it's not win now or must win or anything like that, but it certainly feels like it is. I know you and I talked about that. How big of a swing do you think they will be able to take at that position?
You know, Danny, it's not win now, but it is absolutely get better, show significant improvement, prove that you're on the right path, and coming off, you know, 8-8 and the seventh seed in the playoffs, win now becomes part of it, because that's the only way you're better, you know? So the question is, how big of a swing do they want to take, you know, because they want to keep these jobs beyond this year. And they know that this team is further away than just the quarterback position. And so are they going to, even if they believe they're going to have these jobs for the next 3 or 4 years, give up the minimum 3 first-round picks that it takes to talk about a Watson deal, and that's probably not enough. Our own Chris Emma, I thought, wrote an interesting piece where he you know, opined that it might take 3 number ones and Khalil Mack. I don't know, you know, what the Texans would say to that, because the Bears, here's the problem, guys. The Bears' number ones figure to be hanging between, you know, 15 and 23, at least, you know, for maybe one more year and maybe a year after that. So how valuable are those number ones? It might take more than that. And no, I can't fathom, you know, giving up that much for one player, even if it's Deshaun Watson.
Why not take more bites at the apple in general? Like, really draft one every year. Hell, draft two if you want. Why just have 3 roster spots? Go ahead and have 2 on your practice squad and 2 on your active roster. Why not shoot more arrows at the target when the target is this important?
Matt, I wish I could answer that question. The most encouraging thing I heard on the day that Ryan Pace was introduced to us as the new GM of the Bears was that his draft philosophy was to attempt to draft a quarterback every year. It's what I would do. It's the way to go. And you look at the teams that have had the great ones, you know, the Patriots with Brady, the Packers more with Favre than Rodgers, but even with Rodgers, consistently drafted quarterbacks and turned them into assets, developed them a little bit. You know, some became good players, some weren't. But because of the value on the position that we're talking about here, I don't know why you wouldn't draft one every year, especially when we know, when it's been proven to us, that the best don't even often come out of the first round. I mean, you know, who are the franchise quarterbacks in the NFL today? Drew Brees, 2nd round, Tom Brady, 6th round, Russell Wilson, 3rd round. There's some in the 1st round, too. But, you know, we can all do this. But that, more than anything, to me, argues you absolutely should draft one every year. You got nothing to lose.
When you said the Bears are further away, you know, than just a quarterback, is that if they had to give up a lot to get one? Or, because, like, and this is obviously the ultimate talk radio hypothetical, but if just magically, snap your fingers, Deshaun Watson, top 5 quarterback in the NFL, was just on the Bears, and you didn't have to give up anything to get him, I don't know. I feel like this team is pretty damn close to being a Super Bowl champion if you just added a top 5 quarterback in the NFL to the roster. Do you disagree?
The rap on Deshaun Watson, the biggest one, is the same as Mitch Trubisky, that he still is not reading defenses well enough and processing information quickly enough. And I get that from, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks that I work with, and not just my opinion. And if you do not get better at left tackle, probably better at both tackles. If you don't get him more targets at wide receiver, if you don't get depth at running back, no, I don't think this team is a contender with Deshaun Watson.
Wow. Okay. That's fascinating to me. I think not the scouting report on him and whether or not he still has some room to improve. Every young quarterback does. Man, if they won 8 games with no quarterback production, and then you gave the guy who had the highest – led the NFL in passing and had the highest grade ever for a quarterback to miss the playoffs since 2009 from Pro Football Focus, I feel like that's got to be worth 3 wins, makes them an 11-win team, and has them right in the mix at 2, 3, 4 seed in the playoffs.
Well, it may be, Danny, but first of all, there's this fallacy or false equivalency that they had no quarterback production. Mitch actually finished the 20th ranked quarterback in the NFL. And believe me, I ain't selling Mitch Trubisky or pretending that's good enough, but it's better than 12 other teams had. And it kind of gets you to the middle of the pack where they are. And a lot of those numbers improved dramatically when they came back and adjusted the offense. But think about that for a minute. What if they had given him that last 4-week offense for 16 weeks, 17 weeks? Where would they have been then? I look at the way Deshaun Watson plays the game. And hey, guys, what's painful and frustrating to me about this is I'm the guy who was co-hosting our draft show and screaming bloody murder the night they passed on Deshaun Watson. So I'm not diminishing his traits or his ability or what he's accomplished in any way. He's a great quarterback. Love to have him on my team. But what we're talking about now is the percentage of total success that one player, that the quarterback can provide, and then the price to get him. And I'm not sure, guys, I can just see what happens in this town with Bears fans if, after having needed to do nothing, to give up nothing, just to draft him at number 3, the Bears passed. Now they're going to give up 3 number ones plus, and his first year he tears an ACL. There's so much that goes into this when you're building a team and a winning team and a competitive team that all of these factors have to be considered when you decide, what the price and what the gamble is worth.
Hey, Hub, Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes is the matchup I would like to see and the matchup I feel like we deserve as football fans in terms of let's see peak excellence at the top of their games right now in a Super Bowl. All due respect to Tom Brady and his career. But do the Bucs, the Bucs took care of the Packers. They took care of Aaron Rodgers with pass rush. They got to him. And are they a better team than they were when these teams faced off and the Bucs took care of them? What is different about this matchup than the first time around when these teams played?
I think, the Bucs played their best game of the year against the Packers, but they were not doing that consistently. They have been doing it consistently over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks. I think that even the GOAT, even Tom Brady, new offense, new scheme, new teammates, is playing much better now than he was, even though they put 30-some points on the Packers however many weeks ago it was. But I think more than that, as I look at this Tampa defense, and Todd Bowles, really good coordinator, and, for all the talk about Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan, and they are in the conversation for best pair of inside linebackers in the NFL, their biggest competition comes from Devin White and Levante David, equal or better than the Bears inside linebackers. And what they have around them, when you talk, now Shaq Barrett did not do anywhere near what he did last year, but this is a guy who had 19 and a half sacks a year ago, so he obviously can rush the passer. Then you plug in, Jason Pierre-Paul and Ndamukong Suh and all the other pieces. They're shaky in the secondary. And that's what worries me about the matchup, because even if that front seven does everything you need to do to beat Rodgers, I don't know that they have an answer for Devontae Adams. But other than that, it's a great matchup. But the answer to your question, Matt, or at least where you started, is I would agree that it's hard to picture, something better than Rodgers versus Mahomes. And I do think the Packers and the Chiefs over the course of the season have been the two best teams in the NFL. But I love the way that Buffalo is playing. And the idea of Brady, first year out, winning another Super Bowl with another team, any matchup we get at this point, I think is going to have a huge story, and one that we're all going to enjoy telling and seeing and listening to.
Who do you think is going to be the next Bears defensive coordinator?
I have no feel for that right now, Danny. I'm trying, believe me. I've been working the phones, and we know the interviews that they've requested. We hear the reports of who they might be talking to. I'd be pretty disappointed in George Edwards. I don't know a ton about the Gannon, you know, from the Colts. I prefer. I think Jay Rogers is probably a stronger internal candidate than Sean Desai, in spite of what folks say. I think either one of them would be interesting, not only because of how well they know this personnel, but because they're both Vic Fangio disciples. And so I just don't know how big an appetite Nagy has for dramatic change from the outside. And so that's what's hard to get my arms around. I was asked yesterday, I'm trying to remember by who, it might have been Bernsey, but somebody brought up Wade Phillips. And as crazy as that might sound to some people, if this is truly everything's on the table this year, I'd be very intrigued by Wade Phillips because he's a 3-4 guy who's done it as well as anybody else. And when you give him great talent, he's successful. He's had a year off. So I don't know that the Bears are even, you know, planning on talking to him, but I do think it would be intriguing.
Hub, great stuff as always. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's Hub Arkish with us on The Score.
Your disdain for the elderly defensive coordinator will not be tolerated on this show. It's like, did you not watch the Steelers with Dick LeBeau for a decade? Dude ended up coaching into his 80s, you know? And you have an issue with Wade Phillips at age 73. Is it because he's also portly? I mean, what is your problem, Danny?
I, son of bum, man. I like Wade Phillips. I know Dick LeBeau, and you, sir, are no Dick LeBeau. Let's not put him in that category quite yet. It would strike me as lacking in creativity or originality.
It's the NFL. Yeah,
that's true, right? It fits in. I thought you were going to say my disdain for any of Hub Arkish's opinions over the last 20 minutes. No, the Deshaun thing, man, again, I don't think they're trading him, and I know if they do trade him, the Bears don't have enough to get him. But as a thought exercise, the idea that they would not be better
with him than Mitch, yeah.
With him than even with what you'd have to give up to get him, man, that is a hard one for me to wrap my head around. And I'm a fan of his. I am, absolutely. But let's do the list real quick. Best quarterback in the NFL. Pat Mahomes, we in agreement?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you.
Thought you might be. Second best, Aaron Rodgers?
Rodgers might be the best, but yeah, they're right there. That's 1-2.
Russell Wilson, 3?
I don't know. I mean, he had a really weird year. Had some really odd turns in the year. Top 5. He's there.
Yeah. I go Deshaun 4, and I know right now Josh Allen is maybe making a late charge to be there, but I don't know how you make a list of the quarterbacks in the NFL 5 deep and not have Deshaun Watson on it. And then I tell you that he's 25, and then I tell you that he checks every single intangible box and is a mobile quarterback but also throws from the pocket. He could be your quarterback for the next 15 years. That's not hyperbole. Quarterbacks are, it's just getting easier and safer to play the position. It's not getting more dangerous. He could be your quarterback for 15 years.
You see the graphic? Here's all the Packers quarterbacks that they've had since Deshaun Watson's been with the Bears.
Oh, yeah, man. Can you imagine being able to subvert that and in 15 years be able to sit back and look at these poor bastards. Remember the Packers drafted that kid out of Oregon and he sucked? Oh, that was great. I loved that.
So I get it, like giving up 3 first-rounders and Khalil Mack or whatever. As a thought, it seems scary, but I'll roll the dice that the Bears' second, third, and fourth round picks would be better if they came to a team with Deshaun Watson as opposed to a team without Deshaun Watson. Like, Charles Leno is a better left tackle the minute Deshaun Watson arrives. The second he gets here, he's better. So is Anthony Miller. So is Darnell Mooney. So is everybody. So is David Montgomery. I don't know, man. I don't get it. I top 5 quarterbacks make your team better. And you say,
I think the Texans suck.
The Bears don't suck. They have been mediocre. They have been disappointing. The Bears do not suck. They have multiple hits in the middle rounds of drafts. last year, year before, year before. The Bears are not a totally incompetent organization. They
oh, no, Ryan Pace is not an incompetent GM in that way. No, absolutely. If you gave him a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the Bears'
offense is bad.
A lot of us wish that had gone a little differently in that first round of that draft a few years ago. Things might have changed pretty dramatically. My Patriots fans, boys, who were texting about the Mahomes trade. Yeah, right there they are. You would appreciate this, Danny. They said for Belichick, the Pats gave up a first rounder plus some scraps in that trade with the Jets. They also gave up a first rounder in the Spygate scandal, and a first and fourth rounder in Deflategate scandal, and a third rounder because of the TV crew in Cleveland. Totally worth it. Absolutely
100%.
Worth it.
100%.
Three ones, a four, and a three for cheating ass Bill Belichick and your franchise for 20 years. Absolutely. Every time.
Give me greatness, and I will figure out the rest later. This idea, like, oh, man, I really just need Ryan Pace to select guys at 20th overall. And door number two is Deshaun Watson. Are you crazy? I don't get it. I will never understand, but that's okay. Jen Sturger at 5 o'clock. Oh, my God. Apparently that clip just reminded me, Spiegs. I'm glad you're here. We got another investigation. Mm. And there's a wrinkle to this one. We had to pay for this investigation. I'll explain next on The Score.
The Bears' offense is bad.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Danny Parkins.
I'm the cockroach of The Score.
Afternoons on The Score.
Welcome back to the Danny Parkin Show. Matt Spiegel in. It's another unsolved mystery here at Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I hate unsolved mysteries. Hate unsolved mysteries, Danny.
I know you do.
You know why?
Why is that?
They're unsolved. At the end of watching one of those episodes, it'd be like, and then who did it? And then what happened? And you never know! Why are you doing that to me? Stop.
But on this show, we solve the mystery because we have Chris Tannehill. Was it a fart? We've solved the case against the President of the United States, against Rudy Giuliani.
Mm-hmm.
Our easiest subject ever was Matt Spiegel twice.
Some say we kickstarted Trump's second impeachment.
That is being talked about by some people.
True. A lot of people are saying it more and more.
The MyPillow guy. He's all over the place with it.
That guy.
And by the way, do we have a dump button for like a year of doing spots? Do we have a dump button for that?
I'm proud to say I never took any money. I took money from everybody else. I never took that guy's money. But we have this particular flatulence investigation, Speaks, comes with a wrinkle. You know how sometimes you have to purchase something like from a store, like TMZ will buy something?
Oh, yeah, that's a dangerous business because then you're paying for sources, you're paying for leaks. It sets a dangerous precedent.
Yeah, we can't reveal our source as to who gave us this, but we had to acquire this audio as a show. And so we have a new show budget that, you know, is going to maybe go to T-shirts, promotional items, bar appearances, giving back to listeners, maybe a scholarship fund or an internship fund one day.
Yeah.
But the first purchase of the Danny Parkin Show slush fund went to acquiring this audio.
What, then why did it come out of my wallet?
I'll pay you back.
Who do I talk to?
I'll pay you.
Not that talent level.
Right.
So don't worry, Shane. I will reimburse you. Don't submit this to the official Entercom channels. This could be to my Venmo. But who is our subject here, Chris Tannehill?
I'll let Shane handle this since he's the one that acquired it.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Subject in this situation is Bulls radio color analyst Bill Wennington.
Bill Wennington played with Michael for the last three of those championship seasons.
We believe. Excellent. You never know when there's a hot mic around, as Speaks will tell you. Layla tried to fall on the sword, saying that the hot mic was next to her stomach and it growled. No, it wasn't. You never know where the hot mic is. We believe it's Bill Wennington.
Okay. Let's head back out to the United Center and talk to our color analyst, Bill Wennington. And Bill, Chuck called it a professional victory with Dallas down some guys, but still an impressive showing by the Bulls and led by Lauri Markkanen, 29 points and 10 boards.
Yeah, a great win. And it really is, because it's so easy as a player and coaching sometimes too to let your guard down when there's that many players missing off a roster and all of a sudden they come back and it ends up biting you in the butt. But the Bulls did what they needed to do tonight, come out and play some good basketball. And you mentioned Lauri Markkanen.
Something happened.
There seemed to be a smile that crept into the delivery of Bill Wennington in the final few seconds of that after something happened. That's interesting.
I feel like it was flatulence, Speaks. I think that's what happened. What else could that have been?
Somebody rolling something by there? Or where was? Was he at the game? Was he in the studio?
They're in the bunker of the United Center where the Bulls do their Bulls TV.
Well, there's a lot of echo there. Big stadium, right? No fans?
No, it's a basement. They're in a basement for the away games. They're not on the court for the away games.
Interesting.
Okay. Ends up biting you in the butt.
And he's talking about butts, too. Man, this is multi-layered.
But I feel like I hear digital distortion on that. Do you guys hear that? Like, was it so powerful that it caused digital distortion? Or is something happened down the line there?
I don't know. Tanny, do we have this in any sort of different...
No, we're done with the bit. We're done. It's done.
What happened?
No. Shane doesn't like my quote-unquote edit.
When I heard the raw version, it sounded more like it was a fart, and then Tanny gets his dirty paws on it. We call him the audio overlord. Now it doesn't sound like a fart anymore.
Because, God forbid, I boost the volume so people could hear it. If you're in a car right now, there's no way you would have heard it, because I could barely hear it in the production studio.
I heard it in the production studio. Get your ears checked.
So we got infighting among the fart investigations.
Yeah. This is why this segment is doomed, in my opinion. Look at the infighting. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on here. So Shane spent money to acquire this audio.
Uh-huh.
Now he's mad at Tanny for how Tanny doctored it. Now Tanny's mad at Shane.
In all fairness, I'm new to the business here.
Yeah, right.
I'm new to the business.
Yeah, I don't know what
that sounds
like.
We don't trust your audio skills.
I know. I get it. So.
I don't get mad at Tanny. I trust Tanny with 100% of my being that he's going to put the best audio product forward. It's just not the case here.
100% of the time I trust him, except right now.
That number's dropping. That number's dropping then.
I heard it much more clear in the raw audio than I heard it in that. And by the way,
but the average listener is not going to be able to hear it if they're in their car or at their home office where they're not listening with headphones on. They're not going to be able to hear
it. I wasn't listening with headphones. The person in question played it for me over the speakers. And to be fair,
who played it for you over the speakers?
The person in question.
The person who sold it to us.
I told Tanny that I wasn't going to say anything on the air that we can just, we'll let it go. I'm not going to call out what I think is bad production on the air, but this has gone too far.
Wow.
It was too much of an edit. And you know what? Throw me under the bus. Make me look like the bad guy.
You are.
This was,
you are the bad guy. You're saying terrible things about your producing partner.
I'm going to send it to you guys in raw form, and you can be the judges. You can listen to that off
the air. It sounds the same, except it's not as loud.
It doesn't.
So there's no real edit other than making it louder.
Do we need to talk about, in my opinion, on your use of the vocal leveler?
Yeah, I didn't use it there.
Okay, we'll see.
Wow. So we just, okay, a lot's happening here.
I'm distressed by the infighting, you know?
I love conflict. I'm just now, I'm like the popcorn eating emoji guy. I'm just sitting back watching these guys fall apart next to each other. There was debate on whether or not we should even air the audio. Then we purchased the audio. Then Spiegs thinks he's like too high.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
We got to go to the phone lines.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Mitch Rosen, first-time caller. Hi, Danny. Hi, Spiegs.
Hey, Mitch.
Hi, Mitch.
How are you? There are not many people that are protected on the protected Mitch Rosen list, but there's one, and that's Tanny. Shane, if you ever question Tanny's work again, you will have problems.
Yeah.
Never, ever question Tanny again.
Okay,
I'll
send you the raw audio too. You can be. Oh, he hung up. What a. He's so soft. He's so soft.
No, he mic dropped you.
Oh,
the boss just mic dropped you.
That's the biggest gun.
He avoided rebut.
Shane, that's the biggest gun there is.
No, I don't care.
That's the biggest gun there is. And Tanny didn't even reach into the holster to get it. The gun presented itself to you directly and fired. Just accept it.
Make a stop at Brat Stop for me.
Oh, my God. Now he's throwing the Brat Stop under I am genuinely speechless here. Shane is just going down with the ship, throwing haymakers and dragging us all down with him. Bulls Radio, Chris Tannehill, Mitch Rosen. He does not care who gets caught up in the shrapnel. Unbelievable. How much money did you spend on this audio, by the way?
It'll probably end up being like $16-17.
Worth it.
When we're all said and done. It's not that bad. And once you hear the raw stuff, you'll understand why I'm so angry.
Okay.
I don't get Adam Studzinski angry like this very often. I don't get angry like that.
And this is a worthy cause.
Studs level anger.
This is a worthy cause, I think. Fart audio investigations. I respect it. You're standing up for your integrity, but you had a worthy adversary in Chris Tannehill. We'll see if we can recover before Jen Sturger joins us. Yeah, we probably can't. C-Speaks, lowbrow, highbrow. Highbrow, lowbrow.
Back
we
and forth.
Ball around. That's what we do. It's the Danny Parker Show. Matt Spiegel in on the score.
Here we go, 3rd and 11, Jim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
We're all still here. It's the Danny Parker Show. Matt Spiegel. Shane Tanny. You guys good? I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, good. A little bit of tension. Never hurt anybody. Speaks, you're putting a flashlight on yourself like you're telling a ghost story around a campfire. Looks kind of weird. Don't know what's going on there.
Getting ready for the lighted portion of the broadcast as I work with what we all must from home, the changing schematics when the sun goes down. I have to attach lights and increase the quality of the broadcast. I'm very excited tonight. My wife is making dinner. She is a non-chef. She does not cook, but she lost a bet. I had the Browns +8, and so she's making dinner. So I believe tonight I'm having spaghetti and sauce. I believe that's
nice.
What I'm having.
Nice.
And I might be having it twice because she's got two dinners to make. That's the price to pay. And I will accept. And garlic bread. She's saying she's taking garlic bread.
Hey, Tanny, did you hear that, or did you have to boost it?
Oh.
I thought it was pretty clear.
Damn. I like it. Well, hey, spaghetti and sauce. It's a good meal.
Yeah.
So you gave her a bad line? The Browns were 10-point underdogs. You made her take +8?
No, she had the Chiefs. I had +8. So, yeah, I did. I gave her the morning line. So by the time it went off, it was 10. It was 8 on my CBS Sports app. When I looked at it in the morning. Yeah, we're pretty lazy about the betting in my house.
It's just shameful behavior out of you. There's no doubt in my mind if you were taking the points plus you would have given yourself more points.
I would have reasoned. Well, no, I see. This is the thing. I have a lot of non-bettors that I'm betting with these days, so I just tell them I need a certain amount of points, and I usually get it.
It's just the honor system with gambling. There's the line, and then there's Spiegel's line. That's good.
But it's a little juice. It's a little something. It does feel nice to just have a little something-something on the game. I have to admit that after all these years of fighting against it as a component of my sports, I actually do enjoy having it.
Absolutely. Look at you.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Do you hate yourself for that?
No, I don't actually. I hate myself for so many other things, Danny. I mean, really.
It's not even on the list.
It doesn't even approach it. But anyway, are mommy and daddy getting along again? Are we okay over there? I think so.
I think they're going to be just fine. Speaking of money, by the way, are you a lottery player? Do you play the lottery?
I should be right now. It's like $700 million or something ridiculous.
I think $850 million. The last that I saw. But that's so funny because I do the exact same thing, and so many people do the same thing. Like the lottery, it's like, no, it's stupid. There's long odds. That's ridiculous.
When it
60
bigger.
Million, it's yeah. too long of odds for 60 million. 100 million, it's too long of odds for 100 million. Whoa, 400 million, I'm interested. 850 million, I'm an idiot for not playing. The odds are the same. Like, the odds do not change the more it goes up. People do not understand that.
They probably get worse because more people are playing because more of us are idiots like that. So there's more entrance.
The odds are the same. The odds are the same.
Yeah, because you're not playing against other people.
Right. You're not right. Well, there's a better chance that a duplicate ticket like could have multiple winners where you'd have to split the pot. But the odds are the same every time. Every time you play the lottery, the Mega Millions, if it's six numbers and then a Powerball, it's the same. And so it's a gambler's fallacy of like, now it's worth it. Okay. All right. Whatever you say, because $100 million would be good. And by the way, I am pointing a finger here because I do the same thing. I bought tickets at $400 million. We didn't win. Then it was like $600 million. And Steph was like, we don't have tickets. I'm like, sorry, like we're probably not going to win then. And then now that it's at 850, she's like, we got to get tickets again. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Well, during this long run of vague employment that I've been enjoying, I have occasionally shared my business plan with Christine is that after I check out at the Marianas, I go over to the machine that has the scratch-offs. And whatever my change is, that's what I use on that amount of scratch-offs. And I don't know if you're a big scratch-off guy, but it's part of the business plan. I've been doing it, and I notice there are like $20, $30 scratch-off tickets now. Remember when they were a buck? We're like, spend the $5 on one. There's like a $30 scratch-off ticket for one ticket? What are you? It's
a bit higher return, right? You spend more to make money. You got to spend money to make money, buddy. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess
more
so.
You gamble, more you can win.
All right. Well,
just saying.
I'm trying. I'm working at it.
It's one of my favorite games is to get mildly intoxicated. And then be like, so what would you do? Like, you see that the lottery ticket was sold at your local gas station, right? That would probably be how, because no one watches the drawing of the actual lottery. It would be a news story that'd be like, at the 7-Eleven on this and this, the winning lottery ticket was sold. And you'd be like, oh my God, that's where I bought the ticket. And then you'd go and you'd check and you'd have that rush in that moment. And I like to fantasize about from then until what would you do? What would you spend money on? Would you scream? Mm-hmm. Safety deposit box? How would you react? And frankly, I think I'd be very good at it. I'd be good at winning.
At spending the money?
Yeah, yeah, I'd be great at it.
Yeah, you'd
Among
have skills. But would your values remain the same? You know what I mean?
No. No, absolutely not. I would change. Probably for the worse, but
be
better
great.
For me.
It'd be great if, like, yeah, I'll tell you what, Danny, he won all that money, and he totally changed. He totally and best thing I can say about Danny, he won all that money, and he changed completely. 100%. He's no longer the guy that he was at all.
I would try. I would try not to, but, I mean, you'd probably change a little bit. You'd get a different, right? You'd move.
Oh,
yeah. You take care of people in different ways.
I would.
You would travel more. You would work less. You would do more charity work. You'd be different. You'd be person with $800 million. I'm willing to exclusively report that.
But that feeling of, like, the time I won the big beat, the bad beat, I should say. The big beat is the radio show that Ryan Arnold hosts. But at the time I won the bad beat at the casino in L.A., and you go and you get paid off and all the chips, and I'm walking around, I'm tipping people like $100 each time. Like, here you go. Oh, yeah, thank you for being the dealer. Here's $100. Thank you for getting me that change. Appreciate that. Here's $100. Like, that feeling of, like, changing somebody's life with a $100 tip, I would enjoy that.
I think that's overstating that you were changing someone's life.
Oh, I was. I was. Okay. College educations for them and their children.
Yeah, I was going to say, changing their lives. I mean, you made their day. It's very nice. It's
probably
the
day.
Nice,
yeah,
gesture.
At least the day. Well, you change a day, you change a life. That's what I've always taught.
That's famous, yeah, sure.
Very famous saying.
That, yeah, very, very famous saying. Jen Sturger has requested 5:30 now instead of 5 o'clock, so we, of course, will acquiesce and do that with her, or adjust is a more appropriate word. And so Spiegs and I will continue the lottery fantasy and tackle the stories of the day after the Goodfellas treatment for John Lester next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.